Hey everyone, it's great to be with you today. I'm here at Lynn Canyon in North Vancouver. This spot is a favorite of many people's. People enjoy coming to hike the many trails that are here and just come in the water for a swim in the summertime. My family loves this spot and it's become a favorite of ours. Our kids love exploring the woods and climbing all the rocks and trees and all the different things that there are to explore here. Now, a setting like this is stunning. It's amazing to look at. But for me, my favorite place has to be down by the river here. There's something that's just so amazing about coming to the water and just watching it. I find myself drawn to just watching the water and how it flows over the rocks, and it's almost mesmerizing and really compelling to just stare at. For me, I think this river is a picture of life. It's not only alive in how it moves and how it makes its way downstream, but it feels like it supplies the life to everything that I see around it. If you look along the river's edge, you'll see roots of trees actually dip down and soak into the river itself, as if to come to the river to find nourishment and life. And so it feels like the greenery and the richness of these woods are made possible because of this water that's flowing through it. Now, today's the last message in a series that we've entitled Sacred Spaces, where we're exploring different places in creation that can actually speak to us and push us closer towards God. And today we're going to look at how a river can be a reminder of the type of life that God invites us into. Now, most of us likely get our drinking water by simply turning on a tap in our homes. But in other parts of the world, and especially in the ancient world where Jesus lived, water was something that you had to go and get. It was something that you had to find from a source of some kind. And if you were in the ancient world and you stumbled upon a river like this, this would have been like stumbling upon a gold mine. This water is fresh, it's clean, it's cold. The constant flow meant it was coming from a source that you likely could come back to, that you would have water for the future. To be connected to a river meant survival. It meant life. And I don't know about you, but when I look at the beauty around me, when I look at this space that I'm in, this is in some ways what I want my life to look like. I want my life to feel alive. I want it to feel vibrant. I want to feel like I'm flourishing. And I want to be connected to something like a river that will provide that type of nourishment and life to my soul. In John chapter 7, Jesus was at a festival. It was a festival celebrating what God had done many years ago in providing water to his people in the wilderness. And it's at this festival where Jesus gives us a great picture of where we can turn to find life. He stands up among the crowd and he says this in John chapter 7, verse 37. He says, "If anybody's thirsty, they should come to me and have a drink. Anyone who believes in me will have rivers of living water flowing out of their heart." Now, those are powerful words that Jesus says as this great celebration is going on. And he begins with these words, "If anybody's thirsty." Now, I remember my first summer job doing landscaping as a teenager. My job was to cut the grass, pull weeds, and trim trees. It was really hard and tiring work. And there would be those rare days where after hours of working in the hot, hot sun, I would forget to drink water. I would forget to hydrate. And out of nowhere, I would get hit with this overwhelming thirst. My mouth would get really dry, my head would start to hurt, and things would start to look a little bit hazy as I made my way over to the work truck to try and find my water bottle for a drink. Have you ever been thirsty? Have you ever been really thirsty? Where your mouth gets dry and all you can do and think about is water and how a nice, refreshing, cold drink will satisfy your thirst? Thirst is in all of us. It's our body's way of telling us that we are depleted, that we need something. It's our body's way of telling us you need to pay attention, that you're missing something, that you're lacking water. Thirst is meant to push us towards action. And when Jesus stood up and said, "If anybody's thirsty," the crowds likely would have thought he was talking about drinking water, about a physical thirst. But Jesus was talking about something deeper. He was talking about something that's deep within the human heart, an inner thirst that everyone experiences. I have a friend named Sean who, for as long as I can remember, had the dream of being a teacher. In high school, when people would ask him, "What are you going to do after school?" and, you know, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" His response was, I want to be a teacher. Sean had this dream that being a teacher would be not only a respectable career to enter into, but he would in some ways feel accomplished, feel really proud of himself. He thought others will think highly of me and others will think I'm in a respectable position. And I'll earn a decent living trying to provide for my future family. And so this dream of being a teacher became the one thing that he worked towards for most of his life. He saw every course, every assignment, every exam as a stepping stone towards realizing this dream of teaching. Sean shared with me that when that moment arrived, when he finished his education and stepped into the classroom, how initially there was this sense of fulfillment, this sense of I've done it, I've made it, a dream come true. But how that feeling quickly faded. That feeling of contentment slowly disappeared. And this dream job that he had thought about for such a long time just became a job. It became something else to do. And he found himself restless, wondering, what did he do wrong? Did he choose the right thing? He then started thinking about his desire to have a relationship and his longing to build a life with someone. And that in some ways became his new dream. That became his focus, the focus of his life, and began pursuing a relationship to try and find this fulfillment, this meaning in his life. And when that was realized, he focused on something else. And Sean described how he feels like he's on this endless quest where he's looking for something to give him a sense of contentment, something to make him feel fulfilled and alive. And he just can't find it. He feels restless and confused as to where he can turn to find hope, where to find life. I think Sean's experience is pretty normal for most people, where we hold something in our minds as being a dream or a desire or a longing, and we think that if we could only have that thing in our life, that we'll feel fulfilled, that we'll feel alive. We think, if I had that career, if I had that relationship, if I had just a little bit more money in my bank account, if my health wasn't deteriorating, or if my body looked a certain way, then I'd feel whole, I'd feel complete. But the thing about all of those dreams and desires and longings, many which are good and some even God-given, is that when we realize them, when those things are made true, it seems as if the goalpost for fulfillment just keeps moving further away. It seems that much more out of reach, and we find ourselves on this endless chase looking for satisfaction, looking for meaning and for life. And so when Jesus stands up and he says, if anybody's thirsty, this is the thirst that he's talking about, that deep longing within the human heart. You know, the soft drink Sprite for many years had the tagline, obey your thirst. And in many of their commercials, they would show athletes and people on a hot summer's day reaching for a Sprite to drink to satisfy their thirst. Now, it's a bit funny because most of us know that sugary drinks aren't the best thing for your body to begin with, let alone something you should be reaching for on a hot summer's day. Research shows that if you drink something sugary when you're thirsty, you're actually left more depleted and thirstier. And so often, many of us tend to choose the soft drinks of life. We look to things like money, sex, status, accomplishments, other people's approval as things to try and satisfy that deep and inner longing that we have. And what we find, like my friend Sean did, is that we find ourselves still thirsty, still looking, still longing. Jesus says, if anybody's thirsty. Are you thirsty today? Do you have a longing and a desire for more that you can't quite quench? C.S. Lewis was a great writer. He wrote the Chronicles of Narnia series, among many other great books. And he talks about how all of us have desires, that all desires have something to satisfy them. That if you are hungry, there's such a thing as food. And if you're thirsty, there's such a thing as water. But then he brilliantly says, If I find in myself a desire which no experience in this world can satisfy, then the most probable explanation is that I was made for another world. And so could it be that if we find ourselves with a longing that nothing can satisfy, that we were made for another world? And this is where Jesus' words in John 7:37 really start to sound like good news. He says, if anybody's thirsty, come to me. His offer is one of personal invitation, personal relationship. He doesn't say, if you're thirsty, then here's a long list of rules to follow and be a nice person and show up to church once in a while. No, he says, if you're thirsty, come to me. It's an invitation to be connected to him. Now that phrase, come to me, seems a bit abstract and hard to wrap our minds around. What does that even look like? Well, the scriptures teach us that in the beginning, we were designed to be connected with God. That we're designed to be people who are connected in a life with him, the one who made us. That's where we find our life and our source. That's a part of our design and who we are as people. That in some ways, like some of these trees find their roots in the water here, we too were meant to have a life rooted and connected with God. But because of sin and trying to figure out life on our own, we push God away. We separate ourselves from him. We separate ourselves from the source of life. And we find ourselves with that longing of wanting to be connected to something, something meaningful, something that will fulfill, something that will satisfy. And we turn to all sorts of things to try and look for that thing that only God can give. A great theologian named Augustine put it this way when he said, you have made us for yourself, O Lord, and our hearts are restless until they rest in you. Our hearts are restless until they rest in you. And what Augustine is describing is this spiritual thirst within us, a spiritual thirst placed there and built by God, a thirst designed to push us and move us towards the one we were created for. Are you restless? Are you thirsty? Coming to Jesus is all about movement. It's all about shifting our posture and moving towards God. I have a friend who struggled with a long time with an addiction. For years, he's gone through these cycles of having periods of being clean and feeling like he was doing well, and other times where he's just out of nowhere seems to relapse and gets caught in a really destructive cycle. And he shared with me that it feels like the last number of years he's been on an emotional roller coaster, where in times when he's clean and doing well, he feels himself. He feels like he's in the right headspace, and he feels like he's contributing to his family and his friends and that he's living the life he's supposed to. But when he's at his lowest, he feels this overwhelming sense of guilt and shame. He feels less than a person. He feels like a complete and utter failure. And for a long time, he's tried to fight his addiction on his own. He's believed the idea that if he could just work really hard, if he could just try harder, he could overcome. That he would be better if he tried harder. And each and every time he's been met with disappointment and failure. And the best thing that has ever happened to him was a moment that he realized that he couldn't do it on his own. A moment when he realized that he needed to reach outside of himself for help. Because that's when he connected with a counselor. And that's when he got connected to a weekly support group that's been able to provide him with the support system and the structure that he needs to journey towards recovery. Now he'll tell you his road to recovery is still a long road. He's still navigating that new reality. But life is different for him. He's found a tremendous amount of life and hope in this new world of reaching outside of himself for help. Recovery is not something that's far away, but it's something that he's able to taste. It's something that's close. His life has changed with his ability to reach outside of himself. And this is Jesus' offer to us when he says, come to me. He says, if you're thirsty, let go of your ways of trying to satisfy yourself. Let go of those things that you cling to find meaning and hope and purpose. And come to me. Come to me, the one you were made for. And then Jesus adds this other phrase. He says, come to me and have a drink. Now, again, it seems like a strange thing to say. What does it look like to have a drink from Jesus? What does he really mean by that? Well, the drink from Jesus is to come and to have his life be a part of ours, to invite him into our heart and to allow his very life and spirit to dwell and live inside of us. You know, before I started dating my wife, Amber, we were friends for many years. And we would see each other at social settings and would connect, you know, here and there every once in a while. But there came this really distinct moment when I started to see her in a new light. All of a sudden, I started to have feelings for her. I recognized it when I would get a text message and all of a sudden there was a sense of excitement and this rush of what is she going to say and what is she going to say next. I would start to feel nervous every time she came into a room and was really mindful of what I would say or how I was moving because I didn't want to look like a fool in front of her. And as I continued to get to know her and as we started dating, there was this growing sense in which I wanted her to be a part of my life. I wanted to be a part of her life, and there was this compelling draw and this draw and attraction towards her. And as our relationship grew, I found myself just compelled by her. I found her, she was holding the majority of my emotional and mental space. In some ways, I was consumed by her. And when you love people, when you're in a relationship with another person, in some ways you're drawn to them. That person becomes a part of you. They don't really separate themselves. They are in you in some way. And this is what it means to come to Jesus and to have a drink. It's to allow his spirit to consume us, to be a part of us, and to hold the majority of who we are as people. When you have a drink of water, it gets into you and your body absorbs it. It becomes a part of you. And so too, in a life of faith, we're invited to come to Jesus and to have a drink, to come to him and to receive the life that he comes to offer, to come to offer the fresh, nourishing, living water that he desires to give us. You know, these last few months have been really challenging for everyone, and they've revealed to me my own inner thirst. I've been made aware of my own soft drinks, the sprites that I go to try and find fulfillment and meaning. Things like staying busy, other people's approval, and trying to achieve. And this pandemic has stripped a lot of those things away and has made me aware of my inner longings and the things that I turn to that don't really quite cut it. And I've heard Jesus' words of come to me and drink, and they've changed and affected where I turn to for life and hope. I find myself in this last little month or so coming to Jesus for a drink in a new and different way. Sometimes that looks like reading the scriptures and reminding myself where I fit into this larger story of the world. Sometimes it's praying and reminding myself that I don't exist alone and in isolation, but I exist with God. And sometimes it's as simple as just closing my eyes and reminding myself that I am deeply, deeply loved by God. And each and every time I engage in one of those practices, it feels like I'm drinking from Jesus. It feels like this rush of living water is hitting the dry parts of my soul, and I feel alive. I feel like I'm living the life that I'm meant to. I feel like I'm flourishing and getting a picture of the life that God created for me. Are you thirsty today? Are you longing for more? Then come to Jesus and drink this water that he comes to offer you. Later on in the Gospel of John, in chapter 19, Jesus would be misunderstood. He would be arrested, beaten, mocked, and nailed to a Roman cross. And as his life was coming to an end with his dying words, he uttered this at the cross. In John 19:38, he said, "I am thirsty." Here is Christ, God in flesh, nailed to a cross, taking on our sin, our failure, our thirst. And in exchange, offering us life, offering us a beautiful picture of what it means to be alive and to experience hope and meaning and flourishing. The cross has become a symbol of the Christian faith because at it, there's this great exchange that takes place. It's where we bring all of our longings, all of our failures, all of our shortcomings, and Christ takes them onto himself and he offers us something new, something alive, something refreshing, something vibrant. His very life and spirit. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know what you're journeying through. But if you find yourself with a thirst, if you find yourself with a longing, if you find yourself with a search for more in life, then would you hear Jesus' words? If you are thirsty, come to me and have a drink. And would you find your deepest thirst and longing met in Christ? And would you taste the living water that he comes to offer you And would it be so in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit? Amen.